Lord, you can be seated. I'm going to take the opportunity to do that scripture reading as part of my introduction, if you will, to the sermon that I have on my heart for you this morning. So we're looking at the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. You'll turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, which is fondly been called in some respects the great faith chapter, and hopefully as we are reading that today you will certainly understand why it's called the great faith chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet he speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We will have no other king but King Jesus. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
What I want to share with you today is our entitlement as Christians, if you will, to inspiration and direction. Now, I know there's a lot of talk these days about entitlements, and some of those things are worth talking about from a governmental standpoint, but that's not what I want to talk about today. That'll be discussion for another time. But what I want to talk about is we are really entitled to God's finest creation. We are God's finest creation, aren't we? We have been created in the image of God. We are His finest creation. I know a lot of people don't think that or believe that, but I certainly do, and I believe Scripture bears it out. And during this month, and by the way, I don't celebrate the 4th of July. I celebrate Independence Day. Actually, I celebrate Independence Month, not just one particular day, Independence Month. And it was the great Samuel Adams once said, "A general dissolution of principles and manners will more surely overthrow the liberties of America than the whole force of the common enemy. While the people are virtuous, they cannot be subdued. But when once they lose their virtue, then will be they ready to surrender their liberties to the first external or internal invader." We're entitled to inspiration and entitled to direction from the Lord. The further that America pulls away from God, the more our nation will be enveloped in confusion. And of course, you're probably familiar with the passage of Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 at verse 33 that says, "God is not the author of confusion." Say that with me. God is not the author of confusion. So where we see confusion, that's not coming from the Lord. How many of us know the Lord is not confused about anything, even though many days we are? So followers of Christ are entitled to inspiration and direction, and Lord knows, don't we need it, and don't we need it now? Americans have become so non-judgmental that many people can no longer tell the difference between good and evil. We congratulate ourselves for being nicer, more sensitive, and less prejudiced than past generations of Americans, but we don't stop to consider how much more there is to morality than that. An America that isn't full of good people won't remain a good nation, nor will it remain strong and free over the long haul. I believe these are some of the truths that many of us, gray hairs and white hairs, and some of us with no hair, really understand. It was the great George Washington, in a letter to the residents of Boston in 1789, I should probably take a moment to say, being that I celebrate American independence throughout July, I also want to point out that our founding fathers had direct inspiration from the Lord. They had been inspired and they had been directed by Him. I have no doubts of that in my mind. Many people, of course, won't agree with that. I have learned not to be politically correct. I have also learned that I'm not out trying to sell somebody something, but I do believe after the thousands upon thousands of documents that I have read that these people have written. And by the way, thank you, Stephen, so much for putting that picture on the front of the bulletin. I want to take just a moment to mention that to you because you may have perhaps missed it, the significance of it. If you look at that picture there, years ago, and probably some 20 or so years ago, I somehow saw that and thought, what a fabulous artistic endeavor that the man that did that. So I called him on the phone. And he said, I know who you are. You're the Patriot pastor. And I said, thank you, sir. That's an honor to me that you would know. I said, I want to use your picture. And he said, well, I could actually sell that to you for whatever. And I said, no, actually, I'm not in a position to be able to buy it, but I sure would be blessed if you would let me use that. And he said, you know what? You can use that any way you want. Put it on your website and so forth and so on. I did, because I looked at that and I said, there, in a sense, is the inspiration. Think about that man standing there, probably looking like George Washington, all the things around him, of course, the Declaration of American Independence and a variety of other things, and look out the window. He was being inspired by Almighty God. And don't you for one minute think that George Washington wasn't a praying man and who he was praying to, the God that we're praying to today, the God that we're with here today. He was doing that, I am absolutely sure. And he had a vision for the future. And we can learn from that because truly, inspiration. We are entitled to inspiration from the Lord as His people, and we certainly need it. And George Washington said this, "You love your love of liberty, your respect for the laws, your habits of industry, and your practice of the moral and religious obligations are the strongest claims to national and individual happiness. May every citizen have a proper sense of the deity upon his mind and an impression of the declaration recorded in the Bible. Him that honoreth me, I will honor. But he that despiseth me shall be lightly esteemed." And that from the father of the American Revolution, Samuel Adams. And what about Benjamin Franklin? "This will be the best security for maintaining our liberties. A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is the religion of ignorance that tyranny begins." And so once again I say, it is something that the Lord has entitled us to have this inspiration. It's amazing when I think about the technical marvels that we've come up with. That God has given us the inspiration for that. And by the way, I've studied the lives of quite a number of people. What about R.G. Lortineau? Anybody in here ever rode on a Caterpillar tractor or any of those things? You can thank the Lord that a man named R.G. Lortineau was praying and asking the Lord to give him a design for equipment, heavy equipment, and the Lord gave him, because he believed he was entitled to the inspiration of Almighty God, and God gave him an inspiration and he built it into equipment. Stanley Tam with the U.S. Plastics. Many of us have been benefited by plastics in many ways. An inspiration that came to a man who was a Christian, Stanley Tam, on how to come up with plastics and many, many things. It wasn't just our government leaders that had this inspiration from the Lord, that they believed they were entitled to pray and get this inspiration and direction from the Lord. It wasn't just them, business leaders or education leaders. I think about, for example, when a man who had prayed and said, "Lord, tell me all about the universe." And the Lord said, No, you can't handle that. But I'll tell you about the peanut. And from the peanut came 2,000 different compounds. From the peanut, because of direct inspiration and direction that was given to George Washington Carver. So we see that not only in government, not only in church life, because many times we think, well, who are the people that are inspired around us? Well, it would be church people, of course, you know, and it's the pastor or it's the deacons or the elders. It wouldn't be just anybody sitting in the pews. But please remember, you're entitled to inspiration from the Lord. And the question is, why do some people get it and other people don't? The belief in a God all-powerful, wise and good is so essential to the moral order of the world and to the happiness of man that arguments which enforce it cannot be drawn from too many sources nor adapted with too much solicitude to the different characters and capacities impressed with it, and that from our fourth president. And by the way, there's going to be a quiz at the end of this. You know that? James chapter 4. I don't often quote from the Romans and the Greeks necessarily, although obviously they certainly learned a lot of things, some of it the hard way, like many of us. My dad used to say to me frequently, "Why do you always have to learn the hard way?" And I used to say to him, "Well, I don't. I'm trying to learn a better way, but until then, I guess I'm going to have to learn the hard way." But it was Plato who said, "The penalty good men pay for indifference to public affairs is to be ruled by evil men." Do you know right now the difficulties that our nation is facing? And by the way, please don't try to convince me that America is not a good place to live. You will never succeed at that. I love this country with all of my heart. I don't love this country more than I love Jesus. I don't love this country more than I love my family. But I do love this country, and I've been into enough other places to know that we are a blessed people. But we have many difficulties right now, and just the way Plato said, maybe some of the difficulties we have is because people who are in positions that they shouldn't be in, they're not being inspired by the Lord. They don't go and say, "Show me the universe," and the Lord says, "No, you couldn't handle that. I'll tell you about the peanut," and end up with 2,000 different compounds. So we need leaders that are inspired and directed by our Lord. And we need to be inspired and directed by the Lord ourselves. Regardless of how old we are, no matter what you do for a living, let me tell you something. I certainly know enough about farming to know you sure need a lot of inspirations. And by the way, did you know that grubs are edible? They feed on organic stuff like my lawn, you know, they're eating it up. I told my grandson the other day, we may have to eat these things. And, you know, we can eat them raw and we can fry them and we can boil them and whatever else, right? That was an inspiration, right? The foundation of national morality must be laid in private families. In vain are schools, academies, and universities instituted if loose principles and licentious habits are impressed upon children in their earliest years. One of my all-time favorite things to see is to see children kneeling beside their bed with their hands folded, praying and seeking the Lord. Because throughout their lives, they're going to need to do a lot of that, and it is, in a sense, a birthright for us as Christians to believe that the Lord will inspire us and He will give us direction. Neither the wisest constitution nor the wisest laws will secure the liberty and happiness of a people whose manners are universally corrupt. Samuel Adams in the essay in the Public Advertiser, 1749. Sometimes we think if we just make better laws. And certainly I am a great believer in the law and making better laws and refining many of our laws. But if they're not inspired really by the great lawgiver, and of course our system of jurisprudence has been inspired by what? The Ten Commandments and the Bible, for example. It was Edward Everett Hale, who was a preacher and a historian, who said this, and I hope you take this very much to heart as an individual. Sometimes we think, well, what can I do? I'm just one person. But you know how the world has been changed by one person? The world was changed by one person, not an ordinary person, the Son of God. We're not like him in that respect, but one person can change the world the way Edward Everett Hale said this, "I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. What I can do, I should do. And what I should do, by the grace of God, I will do. Now that begs the question, okay, as an individual, what can you do? Or as an individual at 50 years old, 60 years old, 70, 80, 90, any takers? Mary? B? B's not 90 yet. Her birthday's coming up. What can we do as an individual, even those circumstances? What can we do if all we have is a hammer in our hand and we need a chainsaw? Well, we can pray and we can ask the Lord to inspire us and give us direction of what we can do to use what we have in our hands. If you look, for example, at John chapter 10, verses 27 through 28. This is very important because, as I said to you earlier on, many times people have asked the question, why do some people seem to get inspiration and direction from the Lord and other people just wander around in a quandary not knowing where to go or what to do? Well, here's what the Lord says in John 10, verses 27 through 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I know to a lot of people, if you go around and go over to a local restaurant or something, sit there and say, by the way, do you know that I hear from the Lord? Oh yeah, you must be a loony. You must be a wacko, because you hear from the Lord. Jesus just said to us, not just when it first went into the Bible, so to speak, he just said it to us from his word, that his sheep hear the sound of his voice. And they know the sound of his voice. But it's pretty hard to know the sound of the voice of the Lord and get the inspiration of the Lord when the TV's on 24/7 and you're listening to everybody's opinion and everything else. Now, am I saying don't have a TV? No, I'm not saying that. Am I saying to you shouldn't keep up with the news and going on? No, I'm not saying that either. But I'm saying if you only get from there what you're going to hear from there, you're going to be not hearing the inspiration of the Lord, the way he wants you to get out of his word. Do not go where the path may lead. Go instead where there is no path and leave a trail. Ralph Waldo Emerson. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. Robert Frost. We thank the Lord for Robert Frost and him here. And that's a very important truth, because he was saying basically, if you're expecting to do everything the way everyone else does, you may not be really hearing the inspiration that the Lord has for you. If we look at Psalm chapter 37 at verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Do you know the first scripture text that we read in our service today, coming from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6. If you're making note, make note of this verse. Chapter 6 of Matthew at verse 33. I quote it from the King James. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, many people misquote and do an improper exegesis of Scripture. If you don't know what that means, ask Pam. She'll tell you. An improper exegesis of Scripture, they misquote the Scripture, say, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given unto you. But it's an improper exegesis of Scripture because it leaves out a very important part of the Scripture. And you don't want to leave out the important parts. You don't want to leave out any parts if you really want the inspiration of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You want the inspiration of the Lord? Then you seek the face of God and His righteousness. And what does His righteousness mean? And we're not going to have the theology class. You've got Wednesday night Bible study. You can discuss these things. But the righteousness of the Lord is right standing with Him. And I'll tell you where I want to be, folks. I want to be standing right in the middle of His presence, right in the middle of His will. I want to hear His inspiration because I need it. Not only do I want His inspiration and His direction, I need His inspiration. And the many things in life that I have to do and the questions that I have and so forth. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I am a sheep of the Lord. I brought with me today something, a few little things that I found interesting. You know, sometimes it's kind of hard to carry the whole Bible along with you, so I'd like to carry some things that I show people, like this little wisdom booklet, or quotations from Jesus, or the Founder's Wisdom, for example. You know, you can tuck them in your pocket, you can tuck them in a purse, you can sit there, and when you get a little time while you're waiting for something, you can read those things. But see, the thing is, as you read the book of Psalms, you can be sure that you're going to be getting some very great inspiration from the Lord, right? And you're going to get some great comfort. Or you go and you read the wisdom of Proverbs, right? It's all right there. So not only do we have to just, Lord, I need your inspiration, and say, well, I'm going to give you my inspiration. I'm going to give you my direction. And by the way, did you know that I actually wrote it down for you? And you can read in the book of Psalms, or you can read in the book of Proverbs. And I'll tell you what I do whenever that I open the Bible. I pray and I ask the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, please help me to understand. You know, I'm just a man. I have my thick-headedness. Ask my dad. He always said I had to learn the hard way, remember? But the Holy Spirit helps me to understand that. And all this inspiration will come through our personal relationship with the Savior. We're entitled. He's entitled us to inspiration, direction. The question is, do we have that? We surely do need that now. Dick, we love you. The Lord be with you. And I'll tell you one of the things that's really a downfall for us as people. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know Scripture says that. It's a fallen world. But complacency will be our downfall. One of the reasons, as you look in American history, why this country has been so successful is because we did have a work ethic. And in our work ethic, we first go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him for His inspiration and direction, and then go out and do what He's inspired us to do that is right. The human mind is seldom at stay. If you don't grow better, you will most undoubtedly grow worse. All that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. And both of those quotes did not come from Americans, they came from Englishmen. Yes, there are many problems surrounding us, but the Lord has answers to them if we will ask. Why is it that some people seem to be more inspired? Well, perhaps they're reading God's Word and asking Him more often for those needed answer, and the Holy Spirit is answering them. It was the English revivalist, George Whitefield, who had a lot of connection with American Methodism, who wrote in his journal, "We can preach the gospel of Christ no further than we have experienced the power of it in our own hearts." Too many American Christians really lack the courage, I would say, to be different and to clearly make a stand in a culture that's increasingly disdainful, if not hostile, to Christianity. And the sad part of it is, as we look at John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So we are entitled to inspiration and direction from our Lord. Without it, we are wandering around without a compass. Can you guys say amen to that, please? John Wesley, you know that name, I'm sure. Great man who inspired hundreds of different church denominations over the years. We call him the father of Methodism. He said, "A true and living faith believes the gospel and embraces the work of the Holy Spirit who produces lasting fruit in our lives." You probably know the name Bishop Francis Asbury, who actually was really the father of American Methodism. And what did he say? It was actually printed on his tombstone. He said, and I certainly believe that he had received that inspiration and direction from the Lord. It was written on his tombstone that he had full triumph of faith, Wouldn't you like to have that when the day comes? Wouldn't you like to have something like that written on your tombstone? I surely would. And I'm sure that Asbury had received what he was entitled to as a true follower of Christ, inspiration and direction in the proceedings of his life. So, my brethren and my friends, have we received our entitlement and our direction? How inspired are we in our life following Jesus the Lord? And here I close with this verse. If any of you lack wisdom, it comes from James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, and I'd like to think I've lived long enough to have some wisdom. I don't run as fast as I used to. I can't bench press as much weight as I used to do. I still can pretty much eat as much food as I used to eat. No comments about that, by the way. But I believe I still lack wisdom in many areas. And I know the Lord will help me because he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. What does that say? You go to him in faith, asking him for direction and inspiration, and the Lord says, no, get out of here. No, he doesn't say that. He says, come inside. You come closer. I have it for you. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Right? Well, we have another hymn. So I'm going to ask Steve to come back up. He's on a winning course already. And that hymn is number 369. And you notice that I haven't said stand or don't stand, stand up, sit down, because I leave that up to your ability to do that or whatever. Sometimes I just got to stand. So if you can and you're up to it, sing this hymn together. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Father, what a great honor it's been to stand in this pulpit. What a great honor it's been to be with these, your saints, those that love you, those that belong to you, And Lord, we thank you for your blessings that we've had coming in our invocation. And now, as we call this the benediction, which is the going forward, we look at those letters on the back wall that says, WWJD, what would Jesus do? But Lord, we also know from your word what you did do. Help us to do those things that are pleasing in your sight, not that we are of a doctrine of works, only because we love you and we want to please you. And thank you that we can call upon you for divine inspiration and direction at a time where so many people don't know that there is an answer. And you, Jesus, are that answer. So bless these folks, I pray, Lord, in their everyday lives, whatever that they're doing, and especially bless them, Lord, for the opportunity to tell others about you, because we know that that's the greatest change that we need for our country, that more people would know you as Savior and Lord and would trust you. We thank you, we praise you, in your name, Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen! I believe that if there are any others who would like more prayer, we're opening the altar here, as it says on the bulletin. So if you want to come forward, we'll be glad to pray some more for you or visit with you. But otherwise, go and have a wonderful day on this, the Lord's Day. And by the way, it's spelled this way, not S-U-N-D-A-Y, S-O-N-D-A-Y. Lord bless you.